Like David said, it's been a busy 3 weeks. And I got home Friday night and Neva was gone. So her and Brianne went to San Antonio to be with Nicole and them. And I want to wish her a happy birthday. Tomorrow's her birthday, so let everybody know that she's reached another milestone. We're the same age, so we're in. Encounter 2019. No encounter. 2021, we had another encounter. All of this started in 1990 with this group of girls right here. Is there one more before that? Okay. Nicole and Holly Briggs was that group. Next one. There it is. That's the first five girls that went to encounter with Jeff Rowland. Jeff started this thing off. Go to the next one, Wayne. There they are again, relaxing. Now, the reason I posted this one, this was taken this year at Encounter. Those benches right there belong to South Main. The first year we went, the sponsors, Neva and Diane, were there the first year. They would sit in those benches when they were wooden and visit, and the kids would come and gather up. And that spot has been ours ever since. So I took a picture this year showing we still own that little piece of land right there. Next, Wayne. Okay, this is the two dinosaurs at Encounter. David Harrelson was there before I was. I think he started in 1989 or 88, somewhere along there. And he and I are the last two from those early years. Next, Wayne. Now, this stairwell is special. You have a part of this stairwell, believe it or not. And that's why I want to talk about legacies this morning, because we started a legacy here at South Main with Encounter. When the Wilsons were here, Misty and Mindy and I guess Danny Davis and all that was that age, they would get into that stairwell and they would sing. They would sing these songs that we sang this morning. And the acoustics there were just wonderful. It was great. Every day during free time, they would gather up in these stairs and they would sing. And memories were made there. The other reason I took that picture of the stairwell is that we have one of our own that climbs those stairs every morning at Lubbock. John Maples. I don't know how many of y'all remember him, but he is the head counselor at Christian Lubbock, and he loved it so much, he went on to go to school, get his counseling degree, and is now the lead counselor at the campus. We have another alum from LCU. Right, Elizabeth? Go Chaps. So we started a legacy. This is a picture this year in front of the LCU sign. Go to the next one, Wayne. There they are again, and that's the Welcome Center in front. I want to talk about legacies. Out here in this hall over here, what's hanging on the wall? Quilt. Thank you. That quilt was presented to who? Stacy and Ethel McKenzie. Why did we do that? They were family. We loved them. They were leaving. But there had to be another reason. Because of the things that they did for us. That's where our legacy starts. And it continues right here with this picture. Oh, there's some movie stars. Where are they? Kate and Emery over there in worship. This is also part of a legacy. There we are having breakfast. But we do this because of our legacies. That quilt out there. And here's Champion. And this year we were slight on students, not. There's Harry and Asher at the breakfast table. Next one, Wayne. Okay, stop right there for a second, Wayne. This one right here is important. And if you noticed, Harry and Asher and Lena have their Camp Champion shirts on. I have mine too. And I asked the boys, I said, which one do I wear this week? The black one? They said, no, wear your orange one. So there's my orange one. So we all match because that's our champion shirts. Why are they excited about that? Let's see. Who in here went as campers? Stand up. Come on, stand up. There you go. Have we got some back here? Okay, y'all stay there. I'm glad you finally stood up, Misty. Hang on. Now, who went as sponsors? Diane? Who else? Margie? Carla Layton? Kathy? Chris and Megan? Chris even went as a camper. And he's been as a teacher. Folks, this is what our legacy is about. This church right here. Y'all can sit down now. Now, this quilt right here, that's my old Encounter shirts. I think it starts back in 2000. I went to Jaquetta and asked her one time, can you make me a quilt out of my Encounter shirts? And so she got with Sharon and they made this quilt for me. This one over here was made by Mary Ellis. In the cross it says Days of Elijah. A lot of y'all know that song that we sang at Encounter. These are things that remind us of our legacy. Why do we do that? Because we love people. We want to remember what's been done in our lives and what we've done, and we want to remember them. But now I want to turn to Acts chapter 9 and look at another legacy. Starting in verse 1, Paul is persecuting the Christians. And he's gone and he's gotten letters from the Roman government to go out and capture the Christians and put them in prison and torture them. And we know Paul is on his way to Damascus. He encounters Jesus, talks to him. He ends up blind and he's laying on the ground. And his men that are with him take him to Damascus and he's laying on a bed there in town. And God comes to Ananias and says, okay, I got a job for you. I want you to go and go find Paul. And Ananias is like us. Because he looks at God and said, are you crazy? Do you know what this guy does? He kills people. He kills Christians. He kills me. And you want me to go talk to Paul? Jesus says, he has been chosen by me in verse 15. He is my chosen vessel. Go talk to him. So Ananias gets up and he goes to Paul and he touches him and the scales fall off and he prays for him and he baptizes him. Paul gets up and in verse 19 he goes and he studies with the disciples there in Damascus. What else do you know about Ananias? Is he mentioned anywhere else in Scripture? Just one other place. And that's in verse 12 of chapter 22. They call Ananias in defense of Paul's conversion and say, yes, he was converted. We baptized him. He is teaching the gospel. We see him when Paul is converted, and we see him again in Paul's defense. What kind of legacy does Ananias have? Do you know? Most of us would say no, but I disagree. Because Ananias started this legacy. We may have a legacy, but we may not be a big part in it. Because Ananias, after that, basically vanishes in Scripture. But that legacy is huge. Because how many people did Paul convert? How many people did Paul talk to and reach? All the way to Rome and Caesar. All because Ananias did what God asked him to do. Now, I want to talk about something else that started years ago. And I don't know what the end of it is or how far it's going to go. But Neve and I were in Hawaii. I took that picture in 1974. That's the artillery unit I was assigned to. And I was the ammunition sergeant and had to deliver the shells to the guns. While we were there, we went to found a church in Wahiawa, and we met this couple, Paul and Doris Warnack. There they are. They became our parents while we were over there. They were about the same age, and you know, when young, stupid married kids get together and they go off 3,000 miles away, they're lost in what they need to do. And Paul and Doris drew us in as family, and they taught us a lot about being Christians and about how church life works. As strangers, the first night we met them, they offered us their Volkswagen Beetle till we could buy one. Never met us before. How many of us would be generous enough to do that? Paul and Doris did. They knew the meaning of loving other people. Now, we go back to Dallas in 1975 and start going to church with Neva's folks. And about a month after we get there, this lady walks up to me. I'd never met her before. She says, I hear you were in Hawaii. I'm like, yes. Do you know anybody that can teach the Bible over there? I'm like, yes. I think of Paul and Doris. She says, my mother and my sister live over there, and I want somebody to teach them about Jesus. I get home, I call Paul, I said, look, here's this woman, these women's names, their mother and daughter, and this is where they live, and this is their phone number. And their daughter and sister lives here with us, and she wants them to be taught about Jesus. So Paul says, I'll get on it. 3 weeks later, Paul called, and those two women were baptized. Did I have anything to do with it? A little bit. It was just a phone call. Nothing hard. Who initiated it? Their daughter and sister. because they loved them and wanted them to know about Jesus. Now, what's the legacy of that? My assumption is these two women began to teach their children and grandchildren about Jesus. And we don't know how far that goes. All we're supposed to do is to do our part. This lady came to me. The part that I could do was call Paul. The rest of it was not up to me, other than prayer. Now, I want to jump ships for a minute, if I can use that phrase, Bob. Okay, thank you. All right. The greatest command is in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the other scripture down there is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And to me, that and the second command, you can lay them right on top of one another. Because you have to love other people to treat them the way you want to be treated. But in order to do that, you have to have the first part of the command, and that is love God. I have an equation that I try to work with, and it's called joy. Wayne, if you'll go to the next one. Okay. I want to read this first. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God has made it grow or given the increase. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. Now, with that scripture right there, I want you to look at joy. It's the greatest command. Because we have to love Jesus first. That's where we get the J. We have to love others second. And you have to love yourself third. So if we live by joy, with Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last, we are following those commands. And we have First Corinthians tells us that Paul is saying, I didn't do all of this by myself. I just planted. I just made the suggestion. I told them about Jesus. And Apollos watered that. He encouraged those people. He kept those people focused on God. But who gives the increase? God. He's the one that matters. He's the one that matters. Now I'm going to jump back to our legacies. One of the legacies here at South Main, and there's a lot. One of them is from the tornado that came through when we fed the people out under the portico. One of them are these two quilts right here, because you saw how many people we have touched by taking kids to Encounter with Nicole and Cece, Kim, Jennifer Fletcher, and Amber were the first five to go, along with Jeff. And we have carried that on to where now we have Asher and Harry going to Champion. And we had those go to Champion last year and Encounter. And because of that, Becky went because Kim went. Elizabeth went because the other two went. Now you've got Kate, you've got Asher, you've had Rafe and Kenneth. It builds on itself. All because Jeff knew something that they needed to encounter. That's the way we should be in our lives. Now, I've talked about the legacy of the church as a whole. But now I want to talk about each one of yours individual legacy. Do you have an individual legacy? Some of us do, some of us don't. But we can all start one. Wayne, if you'll go to the next slide. Here's why you can start it. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in the serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. You all have a gift. How many of you doubt that you have a gift? I've had people tell me, I don't have a gift. Uh-oh. Don't tell me. Look to the heaven and tell God. Because He says He gave you one. So don't tell me you don't have a gift. Because if you do, you're disputing the Word of God. Now, some of you are saying, I don't know. I can't do that. And again, don't tell me. Let's go to the next one, Wayne. Here's some passages of Scripture that says you're lying again. If you go to Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission, what does He tell us to do? Go into all the world and teach the gospel? But here's the tail end of verse 20. I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. What does that mean? That He's with us while we're living our daily lives? I don't think so. We've always thought that. I think what He's saying here is, I've given this commission to you, and I'm with you while you do this. While you go and teach other people, I am with you. Haggai 1:13, I am with you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid, for I will be with you. Psalm 73:23, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Do you love God? Then you're holding His right hand. Do you have a gift? Yes. It took me a long time to figure out what mine was. We think that a gift has to be something where you can get up and talk to people like this in a big crowd. Like David Fraze when he came out here for D-Now. Your gift doesn't have to be that. God didn't make you for that. He might have made you to be concerned for somebody and contact somebody else. Like this woman did, and even I in Dallas. And then I can call Paul. As a family, that's how we work together. Apollos watered after Paul planted, and God gave the increase. We worry about finishing the job. God doesn't say we have to finish it. God says all we have to do is start it. So if God comes to you and say, I need you to do this, Don't be like Ananias and say, uh-uh. That's going to fail miserably because Paul kills people. But what happened when Ananias went to Paul? Lives were changed. Ananias went with the Lord. That's how you leave an individual legacy. You're going to leave a legacy. It may be a negative one, but you're going to leave a legacy. We can look throughout history and see a lot of negative legacies. I asked the kids, who left a negative legacy? Most of the time, the first one out of their mouth was Hitler. And you've got Stalin. You've got all these people through history that have done things that affect people negatively. But do we have people that have made a positive effect on the world? Sure we do. Sure we do. But what is our purpose? To leave a positive effect on the world for Christ. So what are you going to do? Are you going to tell God that I can't do that? Because when you do, you're listening to Satan's lies. I know we've all seen the cartoons where an angel's sitting on one shoulder and the devil's sitting on the other. The angel's trying to get to do the right thing. Satan's trying to get him not to. That's what Satan's doing. He's talking to us. He's telling you, you can't do that. But God's telling you, you can. 1 Corinthians, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. Matthew 28:20, I am with you to the end of the world. God was with Paul through his every missionary journey and every city he went into, even Rome. As Christians, our faith should be strong enough that we believe God when he says, I am with you. There'll be times I'm going to call you out of your box, but I'll be with you. You just hold my hand and we'll get through this. And we can leave legacies for Christ all through Henderson and the world. But we have to follow joy. Jesus first, others second, and ourselves third. If you have a need, won't you come while we stand and sing?